Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
11 o'clock hour. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you on your home for the Chiefs, 96.5 The Fan. Of course, our divisional round coverage 2 days away, brought to you by Bud Light, the official beer partner of your Kansas City Chiefs. Yeah, 2 days from this three-peat campaign really kicking off. I know we said that early in the season, but it's go time now. 3 games away from a three-peat.
That's it?
That's
just
it. Three wins away.
I've continued to tell people the toughest part about this from like a job perspective, like a mental perspective, is nothing the Chiefs have done has mattered in so long. When's the last time we came on the air? We talked about a game like it meant something. I mean, for me, like, I wasn't on the day after Christmas. The last time I came on this show and talked about a game of meaning that the Chiefs participated in was the Monday after the Texans game, which by the time this Texans game
will have
been a month.
Heading into the Texans game would have been the last time it was like, okay, here they're right in the middle of this 3 games and 11 day stretch.
Gotta get these wins to get the one seed.
Remember, there was the whole week of the ankle talk.
Oh yeah.
Oh my gosh, should they play Mahomes on Saturday against the Texans? Or
I told
not,
you
all
I'd be
that.
Tempted to sit him in one of those games.
That was the last time. So yeah, it's go time. You got a sense from Chris Jones yesterday when he spoke as well. You could tell like, yeah, he enjoyed the couple days off. To say that he also had an injury, but. He's ready to go. He's ready to play some football. They're fresh. They're ready. I know Arrowhead's going to be rocking. Cannot wait to be out there on Saturday as well. But yesterday, Travis Kelce was doing a lot of national media interviews. We played a couple days ago the Pat McAfee show audio, and he was joking about feeling 22 and all that. It was pretty funny with McAfee. But he had a serious conversation about what his future looks like on the Stephen A. Smith show, talking about retirement. Listen to this.
It changes every single day, man. I love everything that I'm doing in this building, but at the end of the day, I'm not having that extreme success on the field as I have individually, man. But I'm excited for these next couple games to play up at Arrowhead to finish this season off. And I'll reevaluate it like I always do, and I'll probably tell myself how much I love this thing, and I'll come back next year. But it's just it's something that you have to keep into perspective, man. And I never want to get to the point where I'm not helping this team win, or I'm hurting this team more than I'm helping this team. So as long as I'm coming out here playing good football and enjoying coming into the building every day with my guys, you'll see me in a Chiefs uniform.
There's no question he's still helping this football team, even when he's not.
Yeah, that's undeniable. He's still like third or fourth in receiving yardage of all tight ends.
The numbers are there, and the underrated part about Travis Kelce that never gets discussed enough is he's willing to block. He's willing to block, and he's willing to help out the entire offense. He doesn't care if he's the one getting a touchdown. Great teammate, all of that. So that last part, well, that's a no-brainer. He's still helping this team. I also think in the playoffs, we have seen 13 straight games where he's had over 50 yards, 13 straight or 14 straight games where he's had five or more receptions. So this is his go time as well, as we went over yesterday. But I think there is also, as he's acknowledging too, like there is a chance. This is it. Depending on how this thing goes, how effective is he? How does his body feel at the end? I know financially there's some interesting deadlines that SpotTrack Mike Jannetty was discussing a week or so ago when he was on with CDOT. You know, that they can move it around, but there's a bonus that kicks in pretty early on in the offseason. I think it's March 1st or something like that, that if he doesn't make a decision by then, that they might need to see if they could rework the deal to push it back so they don't have to have, because you don't want to have money on the books and then he retires and then you're stuck with the money. So, and he's not going to put him in a spot like that, but
no.
There's some decisions that would have to be made either quickly or push it back by redoing a contract. I think there's a real chance if they win this thing in three-peat, yeah, of course, that he could hang it up.
It'd be easy. right? That would be the easiest way out of all time. Superstar girlfriend, I'm worth $100 million. I got a million endorsements. I just sold my podcast for $100 million. I can act and do TV shows. Like, there's other things to scratch the itch. Because I do think that when you are with another highly motivated person, a person whose career means a lot to them, they're motivated. Like, it is hard to just be like, well, I'll just sit on my ass now. You can't do that.
Yeah, well, I don't think he would be doing that.
No, and
anyway.
I don't think that's the case either. But I think for him, it'll be hard to not feel that way because what it takes to do football, right? And so whatever you throw yourself into after football, you're going to have to be like as into it as you were as football, and that's a tough thing to do. When he signed the contract, I thought that was his way of saying, I'm going to play two more years. He still has a year left on his contract at the same cap number as his cap number was this year. He's got a $12 million, I think, bonus, roster bonus due around that time that you're mentioning. The way he talks about it doesn't feel as distant as it once did.
Well, it's not.
But I do think, like, I listen to that, and weirdly enough, it gives me more confidence there's a chance he does come back. Because it doesn't sound like somebody who is ready to fully let it go yet. His brother made it another year in the league when he thought he was going to retire, when all the talks were Jason's going to retire. And the moratorium that exists in your career for a minute where you have to, like, go through this grieving. I actually kind of feel like there's still a decent chance, a 50-50 chance, that Travis Kelce pushes his career one more year. Just one more year. Just one more year of trying to do it, even if they win the Super Bowl. If they don't win it, maybe greater. But even if they do win the Super Bowl, where he tries to put this career together one more time.
I think if they don't win it, I almost expect him back, assuming he, you know, is healthy in the postseason and doesn't have something come up. The three-peat, it almost seems too perfect not to, like, why? I mean, what
you're it's just a dream walk away.
Greatest tight end of all time already. Yeah. You can check that box. You mentioned the off-the-field opportunities that are clearly out there, not to mention his personal life that is going well, to say the least. I shouldn't say well. It's going as good as it could possibly go. I mean, his life is as good as it gets, it appears, from the outside at least.
He mentioned that that's actually making football easier for him. He said the comfort he has in his personal life has made, like, the working part of life even better. It works for everybody, right? If Drew's happy at home, he's probably happier at work. That's the way. Or if I'm happy at home, I'm probably happier at work. That's just, like, the personal life connection is not crazy. And he talked about it in that podcast, and he talked about Taylor's told him to keep playing and other. There's more and more in there. It's worth listening to because it does give some insight. That's the most open I feel like he's been about retirement, though. Like,
yeah, because on, like, McAfee's show, it was more joking.
Yeah, like, I feel 22, and I'm doing a Taylor Swift lyric.
No, this was more of a serious conversation. Again, it was the Stephen A. Smith podcast. But the time is obviously, and he, I think, is, whether it was that interview or other, like, it's close. I mean, whether it's this offseason or the next one, like, it's very close. I also wonder, you mentioned Jason Kelce, his brother. Remember, the last game that his brother played in was a bad ending. Mm-hmm. Things were going south. They lost and got embarrassed by the Bucks on that playoff game. That's not happening here, but you get my point. Like, I wonder if that makes me like, hey, it might be nice to go out feeling great versus like, hey, this going out when the whole thing's, you know, when it ends and is that how you want to go out when the season's over and cut short or something like that? And that's why I wonder if that would make him more likely to go out on top. I don't know.
Especially for a guy who has made it very clear in everything he's talked about, the going for the 1,000 yards, like, listen to Patrick Mahomes just earlier this week. At his press conference, he was talking about the time that Travis Kelce was a beneficiary of rest. He was talking about last year when he could have gone for the 1,000 yards to get, what was it, 17 yards, 13 yards, whatever it was. And he said, I wanted him to go get it. And he was like, that's not my goal. My goal is a Super Bowl. My goal is not 17 yards. So I think for him, like, winning on the Super, that makes it harder where it's like winning a Super Bowl. I mean, if that's your goal, then you got to go out on your goal. You got to end it right there. You've accomplished the thing you say is more important to you than any of the rest of it. And it's done. And you won it. And you've won 3 in a row and 4 in the last 6 years or whatever the hell it is. And it's just like, it gets to a point where you're like, yeah, I mean, it would be easy. It'd be easy for me to walk away at that point.
I do think what you said, though, with the contract, and when that happened this offseason, we were like, oh, what does this mean? And then Noah Gray got a contract extension. We're like, well, does this mean anything about Travis Kelce? And Noah Gray's had a really nice season and has had a much bigger role here in 2024, now 2025. At the time of the contract, I think it was a 2-year restructure or whatever for Kelce for slash extension for a reason. You know, I think that's the limit. And so that's the question. Is there something that could happen this year that would cut it to a year shorter? versus him just playing out the
maybe
contract.
Not playing good in the postseason.
Maybe.
We talk about the regular season and like his whole thing about play. Let's not factor in the fact, okay, so you mentioned 13 straight games of 50-plus yards, 13 straight games of a touchdown. I don't know if it's a touchdown. It's, like whatever.
50-plus yards, 5-plus receptions.
Okay, so, and by the way, his over-under is like 54 yards or whatever for this game. So, right in that same range. His performance in the regular season, I actually don't think he cares about. If he comes back here in this postseason and he's normal playoff Travis, 7 catches, 80 yards, and a score, and that's what he does the whole postseason run. Well, then what would make him think he still can't help? You know?
Right.
There'd be nothing in my brain that would convince me I can't still play this game at a high level if I just come out and kick ass the entire postseason. He already told you he doesn't care that he finished with 830 or whatever the hell it is in the regular season. If he just looks like normal playoff Travis Kelce. Now, on the other hand, if he's 3 for 30, even if they win, it doesn't feel like you're adding as much to it. You're not doing the job.
Well, that was what he said from the jump, right? Is that he didn't want to feel like he wasn't a top tight end. He didn't want to feel like he was a mid like a Cole Kmet is the example that we used a lot on the show whenever he brought it up.
I don't know why I said Cole Kmet. He didn't deserve any slight.
That was the one that you used. But
it was.
Cole Kmet.
But I mean, even if he's
perfectly fine tight end.
Let's say he goes 5 for 50 and they win the whole thing. It almost feels like his mindset hasn't changed from that, guys, but it almost sounds like he wants to win so bad where even if it is not being mid, I guess, but if he's only giving you 700 yards a season and 50 yards a game, he's content with that as long as they're still winning maybe more than he would have been or would have thought he would have been a couple years ago.
Yeah, helping the team, and that's what he, I mean, I mentioned the blocking stuff for a reason because there's been plenty of plays this year where you go and you watch the I'm talking about just the actual instant replay that quickly is on the screen. You can tell some of those plays don't happen without Travis Kelce being willing to do that. And there's a lot of players that wouldn't be willing that have been a star that are going to be the greatest tight end of all time that wouldn't be willing to take that kind of role. And he's done that. A lot of people on the text line though, 913-586-7965, Cody, are saying, hey, no, but if they get the three-peat, they think it's more likely he stays because then he wants to chase a four-peat. I mean, at some point it has to stop.
At some point, you can't win. They're not winning 9 Super Bowls in a row, I don't think.
Because someone says, well, then he's chasing history. He's chasing history. Well, three-peat would already be history. It's nobody's three-peated, so that already is history. Like, yes, four-peat would put it way out of reach, I guess, but like, the notion of he needs the fourth to make history. The third is already making, three-peating's already making history. It's never been done before.
It's an unrelated podcast, but it's related.
Okay.
Do yourself a favor if you're thinking about retirement and go listen to the JJ Redick podcast when he had Shaquille O'Neal on. You know exactly what I'm talking about, aren't you? Really, really, really good interview. And he asked him about this grieving period as it comes close to your retirement. And he said, what was the hardest thing for Shaq, a truly dominant player of his era, just like Travis Kelce? And Shaq said, the toughest part is not feeling like the man. And he's like, that last year I was in Miami, he's like, I thought I was robbing them. They told me to come pick up a check for $1.5 million. And after he had left the team, he's like, keep it. I don't want it. Not being the man anymore, that is a really underrated feeling if you're an all-time great.
But I don't
not
see
just being
any,
if you've been mediocre your whole life, but if you were an all-time great.
But I don't think, if we're just talking about heading into next season already, what we've seen the regular, I don't feel like he's anywhere near that level of like,
agreed.
Oh my gosh, he's just, what is he? He's not even close to that yet. And that's why it's going to be a really interesting decision. But a reminder, as we hopefully have 3 more games left throughout this season on the way to a Super Bowl to watch and enjoy, there's a chance, a real chance, that this could be the final 3 for one Travis Kelce in a Hall of Fame career.
Yesterday, we talked about the other two locals, Kansas State and Missouri. Kansas State had a rough one against Texas Tech where they kind of blew the thing late. Missouri had one of their biggest wins in the last 5 years in their program, certainly. And they've had 2 of their biggest wins of their last 5 years in their program, beating Kansas earlier in the year since that rivalry's back, and then beating a top 5 Florida team on the road. Look, the obvious question coming out of this game, and I'll just tell you right now, if you want me to like break down screen rotations, you can go listen to a more boring show. It exists. What I am going to ask you about this is the obvious thing, which is Bill Self not built for the modern NIL era? Because his team that he, handpicked, just like everyone does, in the NIL market, Hunter Dickinson, AJ Storr, Zeke Mayo, it's not fitting. All the pieces don't connect in a way that we can all see where it is not, maybe it will gel later, but it isn't gelling now. And he's lost in the second round 2 years in a row. I will point out quickly, he did win the national championship 3 years ago. But he's lost in the second round three of the last 4 years. It'd be 4-5 if he lost that early again. Something is just off. Like, none of it feels cohesive. And I feel like it's this, like, having to pluck players and then choosing them to be a team is not Bill Self's strength.
So, I didn't think they were winning last night anyway, so that was not like some jarring defeat.
No.
I did not think they were going to Hilton Coliseum and winning. I think Iowa State has potential to be a Final Four team. They're a top five team in the country. But some of what you were saying, there's no doubt that the NIL era has played a role. However, I think it's a bit of a reach, and I know you weren't saying that because you referenced it, which is that, oh my God, he just can't win in this era. He did win a national title when NIL existed. So I just want to be
baby phases of NIL, but it existed.
And that was not, this wasn't 8 years ago. This was three years, not even three. In March, it'll be 3 years. End of March, it'll be 3 years. So I think it's a little to be like, oh my gosh, he just can't do it. But what I think has happened is they've, through the portal, gotten the top guys. Like, Hunter Dickinson at one point was the top guy in the portal.
AJ Storr is one of the 15 best players in the portal.
AJ Storr was one of the top guys. So it's not like they haven't successfully gotten players through the portal. It is piecing it together, either choosing the right guy or not letting them have the skill set or utilize their skill set the correct way and who should get more minutes and all that. They went out and completely retooled the roster in the portal because last year the group he put together struggled. And as you said, they had an early exit from the tournament. And then so far this year, they really haven't played many of the portal guys. Now, AJ Storr, I don't think he needs to play more. I don't think he's very good
right now. You think he needs to play less.
But there's guys like Ryland Griffin and others that I think should be playing more. Let's be real. Hunter Dickinson, KJ Adams, DeJuan Harris, that group, not getting it done. And I think he's reluctant to make the switch. The only saving grace that I feel exists for them is I actually think they have some of the players on the team that can still help them. Last year, they didn't have anybody, and yet they're not playing everybody they should. I'll be curious to see what Self does. He's very loyal to the core group, and I get that.
Typically he is,
but yeah. They're obviously judged at a different standard because they could be that's how they're Kansas, right? So they can be a four seed, and it's like, oh my gosh.
That's a down year.
They can be a four seed. It's like, what the hell are they doing? What is going on? Missouri can be a seven seed. Like, wow, amazing year. That's just the reality of where these programs are at.
That's what it's like to be a blue blood, and we're allowed to judge you based on that standard.
I'm done with Hunter Dickinson, though. I'll tell you that. I said that a couple weeks ago.
They shouldn't have brought him back.
Oh, man.
I stand by my comp yesterday, but also, like,
your comp was a good one, actually.
A bookshelf with arms and legs.
I think it was.
He moves like a rectangle with no rotation.
In fairness.
But it's like, go ahead.
To back Hunter Dickinson, if he's not playing, the Kansas loses to Cincinnati.
Yeah.
I think he had 19 points in that game.
Sure. I mean, look, he's still capable of having an occasional game.
For him to be the guy, it's weird because, and not that Kansas doesn't have, I don't know if you would categorize this goal, but I know that Hunter Dickinson is probably that person, but and maybe it's Zeke Mayo, but it doesn't feel like Kansas has like a big time stud, like a big time player that everybody should be paying attention to. And I don't know if that's what helps get Bill Self.
His best teams are guys he's had for multiple years and developed.
That's interesting thing about NIL.
That's where his best teams have been. Like something like there's the low hanging fruit if you're a K-State or Missouri fan.
Now that it's not
illegal or whatever. Like, okay, that's fine. Low hanging fruit, rivalry stuff. But again, I'll point out the fact is they won in 2022 and NIL existed. What I think is a real conversation, if we're being serious and not just doing stupid rivalry stuff, is what you just said, which is there's a difference when he has guys that have been on the team for multiple years and can build it out and they're starting five. He thought he could blend the two this year and it has not worked out to what their standard is in Lawrence.
Let me ask a regular question with this because NIL exists and people have to operate inside that system. If you're Kansas, you could just take all these players like you do, recruit them, their top picks, and you could develop them like a normal Bill Self team and just pay them to stay forever. Can you not do that? Is NIL too prevalent that you can't convince these kids to stay even though you're Kansas and have the check? Because I'd be tempted
by
that.
Them. You would think because Kansas is the bigger brand name, they've got the history, they got one of the best coaches in the sport, in the history of the sport. You would think that Bill Self would be able to find the, and I don't know if it's a booster thing, I don't know if it's the collective thing, I don't know how much money
they're
Kansas
getting the top.
To spend.
That's what's weird. They're getting the top transfer talent. This is not a, hey, they're swinging and missing in terms
He's
of.
He's just not choosing transfer talent. Yeah.
Well, but I also think, Cody, to your point, though, what you said, and I think Ohio State did a really good job of this in football, they paid guys to not leave. It's not a matter. Bill Self doesn't have to necessarily go and get AJ Storr. It's recruit the guys who might want to leave, but you convince them, we have the money so you do not leave, and I can build my team the way that I traditionally have and that's from the bottom. I mean, Dwan Harris, KJ Adams, and he's still, you know, finding more
and
of
he kept
those
guys.
Those guys
and won a championship. Yeah.
Well, those two guys are on the team still, and they're that core of Harris, Adams and Dickinson have been, let's call it, been bad here recently. They've been bad, and that's an interesting, but it's not as if they're not getting, oh my gosh, they can't get anybody to come to their school through the transfer portal now that it's level for everybody. No, they're, as we said, the guys, Hunter Dickinson was the number one portal guy a couple years ago, but he has not been what they believed he could be in their system, and he's a liability defensively. We already know why he's out of the NBA. It's why he came back to college. So go ahead.
Somebody brought up Christian Brown, who now is in the NBA with the Nuggets. Him and then even Grady Dick, they missed both of those guys in terms of like what they brought to the table. For those teams.
Those are NBA players. So just
someone said nobody transferred from last year's team. That's not true. Like Timberlake, remember, they brought him in last year. He was a bust in their system, and he already transferred out. But that makes you wonder, like, hey, was that on Timberlake, or was that, once again, just like, for whatever reasons, getting these guys to fit in his system and develop through that has not panned out. We'll see. I will also caution everybody. It's January 16th. We've been down this road before. We're like, oh, they don't have it, and all of a sudden it's March, and like, here they go. So we'll just see. We'll see what happens. But yeah, it's disappointing. I'm not surprised they lost last night at all. They had no chance, in my opinion, to win that game in that environment. Nah, they would have had to play perfect.
I think you and Carrington are going to have to make another bet about which team goes further in the NCAA tournament.
I want to make the bet now because Carrington, I think,
it's going to happen.
I want to make the bet now, though, because if right now I think Carrington's under the impression that Missouri is like winning a national championship. So I want to make the bet now.
Yeah.
And I'm gladly. Let's
Whoever's team goes further than the national championship or in the NCAA tournament.
And dare we say that Missouri's national title might actually be getting past the second round. I don't know if that's fair, but a national title may be considered different things for Kansas and Missouri basketball.
I mean, they've never made a Final Four, so yes, you're correct.
Trash of the day.
All right, let's go to Indonesia for this one.
Okay.
All right.
That's a new one. I don't know that we've had an Indonesian trash
of the day. So there was a young woman was at work in Indonesia when she managed to get her nose piercing stuck in the mesh backing of a chair. So you think of your office chair, mesh chair.
Why was her face that close to the mesh back?
That's a great question. I don't know. So her co-workers attempted to help remove the septum ring from the chair by yanking it, but were unsuccessful and ultimately called the fire department. Yeah, let me just yank on this nose. I'm sure that felt great. You've got to just pull on this. No, that won't get it unstuck. No, the incident was the strangest call we've ever had, said a firefighter. Firefighters also attempted to free the woman at the office, but ended up, this is great, they couldn't get the nose ring separated. So just picture this. They had attempted to free her from the office, but they ended up wheeling her to the fire station.
Wheeling her to the fire station?
Just picture
this. It's like a metal mesh back, too, so you couldn't just, like, cut it out, you know?
Think of this. Her nose stuck down on the chair, and they got to wheel her to the fire station where they had tools to complete the job. In an attempt to lighten the mood, the firefighters joked with the woman about cutting off her nose or needing to use a chainsaw to release her from the chair's grip.
I'm sure that was real funny when my nose was stuck in the fire department is pushing me down the street in my chair.
Then she took a photo with the firefighters in front of the fire station and the chairs in front of her, and she's smiling and all is well. No injury.
Chair still looks like it's in good shape. How'd they get her out?
There's a little, because I'm guessing they ended up having a tool to cut the ring is my probably something.
Okay. But,
Drew, you ever have a nose ring? I think you're most likely on the show to have ever had a nose piercing.
I'm probably in the most likely, but I have not, and nor will I ever have a
nose
piercing.
Will you ever, huh? You're anti-nose piercing?
I'm not anti-
Doesn't your wife have a nose piercing?
Yes, but Cody.
I believe
Cody, do you picture me? Just me having a nose piercing. No.
More so than a lot of people in the building.
I don't think I
mean,
pull
it's more
it
hilarious
off.
To picture Gold with one.
100%. It is.
I mean,
yes.
I don't think
like
I could
a Lenny
pull it off.
Kravitz stud too. Not even like a hoop,
just like a diamond stud.
Yeah. Oh, it would have to be a stud. Yeah.
You already have the ear. Do you still have your earrings?
Oh yeah. I still got the earrings.
At least there's photos of me in like my teenage years, like with like not jet black hair, but like dressed like somebody going to a punk show, like with my hair dyed. So like, if I have photos of those that exist to me, it's not crazy to be like, oh, he accidentally got a nose ring at some point in his life, but not now.
There was one day on the show where Gold basically said, I look like I'm ready to go to a rave, or I'm in a little phase.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it would fit with that outfit, I suppose. Maybe.
Yeah.
Man, I can't believe getting
I think I would be the most likely, but I'm not planning
being pushed
on
the
it,
street would
means.
Be embarrassing.
Is that the Cincinnati bet next year, Drew? You're going to hit Nose Pierce?
No, absolutely not. Because
can you imagine on air? Oh,
no way.
It'd be quick. That doesn't hurt that bad, I don't think.
It would be a funny story.
I don't know. And your nose, I feel like your nose tissue would be, I don't know.
A little more sensitive?
The Bengals don't play the Chiefs in the regular season, so it would be in the playoffs as well, which there'd be some extra stakes.
Man, what are you going to do next year?
Oh, that's right. No regular season game.
Yeah, you guys aren't going to be able to claim that that's as big as a Super Bowl.
No, they'll be able to beat the Bills. It's okay.
That's going to be really weird. That's going to be really, really weird. All right, guys, that's the trash of the day. Up next, Chiefs Red Half Hour. Let's talk a little bit more about this year's team compared to a team in this exact same spot a year ago. I think it's interesting how we view them and who could actually accomplish more. That's next.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Next.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
Coming up in about 40 minutes or so, Danan Hughes is going to join us, former Chiefs wide receiver. You'll hear him on the call along with Mitch Holthus, Dan Israel, Josh Klingler this Saturday, 3:30 kickoff right here on 96.5 The Fan. And because of the postseason, we've got expanded coverage all day long on Saturday, right? Starting at 9 a.m., Drew and Mac are going to be rolling. Well, extended pregame coverage, then going right into the Chiefs Radio Network coverage. And then we'll also have extended postgame coverage Saturday night, hopefully talking about a win. Logan, if you guys haven't heard, Logan, the newest host at the station, he's been doing a couple nights already, if you haven't checked out some after hours, but he'll be doing extended postgame from 8 to 11, if I remember right there. So an opportunity to voice your opinion, hopefully off of a win. Otherwise, that'll be a very interesting show for Logan's first postgame show, that's for sure, if it's the opposite.
When I worked here... part-time, the first time I was here. I think it must have been right after you left. We must have just missed each other. I think you were here a little before me as an intern and as a part-timer. Yeah. And then I started working here not long after you had left for Wichita. The very first Chiefs extended coverage I did on this station, and I knew I was going to come back in for it, was after the Colts playoff game. It was bleak, in case you're curious. Real dark. And I did it from I'm not kidding, 10 to 2 a.m. or 10 to 3 a.m. or something. It wasn't an all-night thing, but it was do 5 hours until 3 a.m. And people were still calling. They're still pretty upset. It's good to remember games like that to know where you are now. Yeah. It's good to remember and Drew wasn't in Kansas City and not a Chiefs fan at that time. I mean, they were up 30, man.
Oh, no. I was watching. I watched the game.
They were up 30.
They played the Colts. Disgusting. I was at home. I was in high school
absolutely
or whatever
disgusting.
It was.
Yeah. Honestly, sick to your stomach type of disgust at that point.
They lost that game.
Yeah, that's definitely true. So be listening all day long Saturday. You're home for the Chiefs. You're home for KC Sports 96.5. The Fan. All right. Thinking of a little bit of history and how we look at teams of the past, I think we can relate, of course, a team from last year to this year, a lot of similarities and all that. But how do you feel heading into divisional round weekend this year compared to divisional round weekend last year? Like, for example, if it was 2023/2024 Chiefs versus 2024/2025 Chiefs, this year's team, who do you actually think would win in that game? I'll do is it from a betting perspective. Who do you think would be favorites? Let's just go there. Who would be favorites in that game? Would this year's team be a 1-point favorite, or would last year's team be a favorite? Because I think this comes down to your belief in the defense this year. That to me is honestly how I would be
differentiate
looking at it. Yeah, because last year's defense was great all year.
But now I'm supposed to assume, like, well, I know Jalen Watson's going to be back, according to Nate Taylor. So, like,
and the defense
changes my opinion on the defense.
Since Minnehue has been back in the mix, has been better. They also have rest this time. Last time they didn't.
Yeah.
I would also say the offense at this point in time, I feel better about than I did heading into last year. Let's not forget how we felt about the offense in wild card weekend.
And an 11-win team versus 15-win. This team is four games better.
It's weird because we have the benefit of hindsight, which is we know that last year's team was good enough to win the Super Bowl. Uh-huh. So, like, you know, like, well, of course that team's, but we don't know if this year's team can win a Super Bowl yet. I know last year's team did. I'm trying to take that out of it because that's really not what we mean by this. I think this year's team, because this year's offense is better. Last year's defense, but it's this year's offense that is better, in my opinion, and is going to be more potentially explosive than last year's.
I'll be honest. It is very hard because now I know. Like, if you said divisional versus divisional, I think everyone would answer this year's team. If you had the mind eraser click thing from Men in Black, and we didn't know that they won on the road in the divisional round, won on the road in the AFC title game, went on and won the Super Bowl. Knowing that is in my brain, and I know that they went on the road, won the Super Bowl, so it makes it kind of tough. Truth is, last year's defense was better. I actually don't think that there's a really good argument to say that this year's team is better. They've been worse in the pass rush. They've actually been about the same at taking the ball away, so maybe that's a wash. But they've had bigger issues. But Jalen Watson is back. Before Jalen Watson got hurt, we were still talking about this as being one of the league's three best defenses, and now he'll be back. And so I kind of have to think that. This year's offense is so much deeper. It's not even close. Like, that's why I, like, have a lot of confidence about this team. Last year, I wasn't as confident. I picked them to win, but, like, I wasn't sure that they were going to be able to go road and win the Super Bowl, and they did.
That's the path. The path is easier this year, too.
Way easier. I think this year's team would be favored. Not just because they won 15 games in the regular season and last year's Chief team only won.
I don't care about the regular season, though. Like, because remember that.
No, but like from a favorability standpoint, you know that they would, you know, from a betting standpoint.
I just mean, though, like we know if we take the season as a whole. Yeah, I mean, last year's defense from start to finish. This year, though, I still think really since the week 13 game against the Raiders, since week 13, this defense has completely turned it around, and you're right. They also get Jalen Watson back too. So I that's why I mean, like, I'm not trying to compare regular season last year to regular season this year, because I think the defense right now, the gap between last year's defense is not nearly as big as what it was when we were discussing it in week 10 or something like that.
I would take last year's team, but it would be close, really close. Here's a big reason. Here's one of the biggest reasons why. Last year's two leading wide receivers were a rookie and Rashee Rice at 938 yards and Travis Kelce at 984. Travis is a wash. Let's just call him a wash. And Rashee, let's call it, it's not quite a wash. He's definitely better or was playing better than anyone else in there. 3-6 is a chasm of talent difference. Last year's third leading wide receiver was Justin Watson, then MVS, then Noah Gray. This year's 3-6, who we haven't already listed yet as number of the guys, are like DeAndre Hopkins, Xavier Worthy. I mean, it's infinitely better than last year's receiving unit. And I don't think, just as long as Tooney plays left tackle, I don't think the offensive lines are dramatically different. Because if we're trying to, like, rewrite history and try to pretend like, Donovan Smith was Orlando Pace last year, well, then we're rewriting history, and that is not what the setup was. Juwan Taylor's the same player. Donovan Smith was a limited player who kept himself out of trouble in the postseason. The same as I think Joe Tooney is a limited left tackle. He's not a limited player. a limited left tackle who can keep himself out of the trouble this postseason. The interior of the offensive line's the same-ish, depending on if it's Humphreys or Joe Tooney. But it's like, I don't think the offensive lines are dramatically different. I don't think the rushing attacks are dramatically different. I do think the wide receiver units are different. I would take last year's team by a hair. I was just curious, because this year's path is so much easier, and last year's team went road, and Super Bowl.
Yeah, 913-586-7965. A lot of people mentioning, you know, the team won a Super Bowl. And that's what we're saying. It's like, I get that's why we wish that you could take that out of it. You can't. We have the benefit of it's hard to go against a team that we know for sure won a Super Bowl. So if this year's team ends up doing the same, then I think it almost revisiting that conversation could maybe bring a different answer for some people that are out there.
Would it just depend on the way that they win the whole thing? Because I was going
to
say
at that point,
because to me, I'm with Cody. I think I would take last year's team just because I think we're also forgetting that Willie Gay was on this roster or that roster as well in terms of covering the tight end stuff. Not that that is anything that's killed them this year, but in terms of them being locked down, like they didn't force the turnovers like that last year, but you couldn't cross the 50. You couldn't get across. You couldn't get into field goal range. Like the Dolphins couldn't do anything in that playoff game, and they didn't need to force a turnover in the playoff.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's like, we haven't seen. Let's find out what happens on Saturday, because as the texter points out, we also haven't seen Jalen Watson and Charles Omenihu on the field at the same time here in 2024. Yeah.
And
now 2025.
Over on Twitch, I mean, there's some good points. Legendary Lawyer pointing out, he's like, do you remember how many extra sacks they had last year? I mean, they were number one or number two in the NFL in sacks last year. That'll sure as hell make you a great defense.
There was no CB2 question.
Pacheco was a better player last year. Like, he was a better, healthier, more dynamic player, but they've got slightly better depth. And I don't know, like, run game's a run game. Like, I hate to be
the Chiefs,
like,
it's not gonna
the
be the
modernist football guy, but, like, that ain't going to be the reason they win or lose, is the level of play they get out of Pacheco.
But, like, bringing up, so the sack stat is a fact. I guess that goes back to, I set that aside a little bit only because in this conversation, because once again, saying, like, hey, those sacks and this year's defense hasn't got as many sacks, my whole point is that I'm not saying that start to finish this defense is anywhere near last year. I'm saying
where they are right now.
Since week 13, how are they performing right now? I don't think the gap is as large as it was a month and a half ago. That's all I'm saying. And we'll see with Omenihu and Watson on the field Saturday. Hopefully they're able to shut down the Texans, and then maybe we're feeling even better about it. But yeah, let's see. Let's just see what that looks like. I mean, Andy hinted earlier in the week that Watson's going to play, but not 100. You know, he's not going to be a full-time starter necessarily. But I feel like sometimes in these games when they start to acknowledge, like, well, we don't know how many snaps he's going to play. Then he's out there and he's dominant, and they're like, well, he ended up playing 15 more snaps than we thought he was going to play because we needed him. Like, you know, Charles Omenihu's first game this year. Oh, we don't know how much he's going to play. He ended up playing way more than he thought he was going to play, you know? So, and it's the playoffs. So if Watson's holding his own out there, I'm guessing his snap count will be higher than they initially planned.
I would like to watch a game in which Patrick Mahomes went against Patrick Mahomes in a playoff setting, though. I got to admit, that'd be pretty fun. Like Snead jamming up Xavier Worthy, trying to figure out if he can, because that's last year's team. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you got to figure out, and I'll be honest, last year's defense would have, like, if you're talking about it from an actual matchup perspective, last year's defense pass rush would cause some problems for Pat this year, you know?
Yes.
They'd get some pressure on him. They would have to, you know, what's funny is for two teams with so much similar talent, they do not play the game the same way. These are not the same teams.
No.
They play and win different, even, you know, and that's from year to year. Sometimes that's crazy to me, because I watch some teams and I'm like the Bills, for instance. The Bills don't play any different, in my opinion, in the times that I watch them. They play the exact same for like 3 years. And they won a whole
I do think they changed
games
when Joe Brady came in. Remember, they were struggling in offense, and then midseason they fired, I don't know if it was Kent Dorsey, but they brought in Joe Brady, and the offense changed, and here we are. So that was the only time they switched, and this offense is different than what it was with Dorsey.
And certainly with the Ravens, they switched once they changed off, once they moved off. Once it was the Munkin switch, it wasn't going to look the same as it was with, you know, Wink and everything else kind of in between, that's who it was.
Defense.
That was defense. Yeah. So, like, I mean, things do change, but, like, they haven't changed offensive coordinators. They haven't changed defensive coordinators. Like, and the wide receiver unit has certainly changed, but, you know, so much of it is the same. It's just fun. Imagine, that's all.
I got an email just a little while ago from Pickett, which basically people submit all their bets. Like, they track every bet that's made, whether you're using FanDuel, Underdog, wherever, right? And because we were just talking about the offense and stuff, I think these are the most popular bets across all platforms right now. One, Chiefs money line, okay? Because as we said, only twice in the last decade has a team that's been an 8.5 or more point favorite lost a playoff game. Xavier Worthy, over 4.5 receptions, is the second most popular bet right now across all platforms. Travis Kelce, over 5.5 receptions, is the third most popular bet on this. Not surprised we referenced 13 straight five or more catch playoff games. Isaiah Pacheco, over 49.5 rushing yards, is the fourth most popular bet.
I'll be honest, I don't love that.
I don't know how often they're going to run the football. Kareem Hunt's still around. And then an alt line is the fifth most popular, people teasing the Chiefs down to 2.5. So you can tease the Chiefs to 2.5. You tease it with the Rams up to 12.5 or something like that. It's one of my favorite bets of the weekend. But
Most of these I agree with, I'll say. My thing in the playoffs, and I've made plenty of money, and I'm not telling you can't lose money this year because sometimes trends eventually break. Every single postseason, I do really well betting Travis Kelce anytime touchdown, Travis Kelce yardage over, and Patrick Mahomes rushing total. Every year, those are almost always
14 straight, 13 or 14 straight.
It's crazy.
13 or 14 straight playoff games for Kelce, over receptions, over on seven or over 50 plus yards. And here we are. So that's one that's kind of interesting. I'm with you. Mahomes, we discussed. I mean, how much does he elevate his game in these moments? And part of that is his legs. I mean,
always has been.
He has done it consistently in the postseason. I went back and looked, like the AFC title game, not so much. They didn't really need it. He had 16 yards rushing. But you go back to many years ago with the AFC title game against Tennessee. We all know the
Super Bowl
all-time run, the Super Bowl, Eagles Super Bowl in particular. He's willing to risk his body more. That's just, he knows what's on the line. And teams somehow get caught napping, forgetting that, Mahomes can still move. And the ankle is as healthy as it could be heading into this game. It's not 100%. As we all know, it's going to be the offseason before it's 100%. But his ankle's been in way worse shape before heading into a playoff game than what it is. Nobody's even talking about it anymore. Remember that? The last time they played the Texans, going into that game, that was the number one story. Could he play? Should he play? He did, and they won 27-19. That's not even a question, the ankle or anything heading in this one. That's why I do like the rushing totals as well.
It's just, and it honestly, it's easier to bet when you have questions at left tackle. I feel like he's going to have to be moving. Not all the time, but I do think he'll have to move at least a little bit. Yeah, it always kind of depends with the Chiefs, and some things are certainly predictable, and every year kind of moves the needle. Like, for instance, I'm a little bit worried about Xavier Worthy's reception thing is like 4.5. He's been way over that for like 6 weeks straight.
Yeah, what I say? Not it's way the, over. It's the third. What I say?
Yeah,
second best.
Second
bet.
Most and popular bet.
I'm gonna guess he's had five or more catches 5 of the last 6 weeks without even looking. That's got to be right around where Xavier Worthy's been. But it's the postseason, and you and I are saying like, well, more passes are gonna go to Travis Kelce, and you feel like more passes might end up going to DeAndre Hopkins. He's actually hit it 5 straight weeks: 5, 5, 6, 7, and 8 receptions over his last 5 games, and he had 4 and 4 the previous 2.
Yeah, I like the yardage on Kelce more than the receptions, only because everybody's betting it, and so it's so juiced up. And
I'm on the yards too.
For those that know what we're talking about on that, someone asked like, what do you mean by teasing and stuff? So when we say it's juice, so instead of a -110 bet, it's -140, right? So you make a bet for $100. One of them's paying out 60 something, the other's paying out $87, give or take, is what we're talking about. That's why it matters. And so,
and a lot of times people take those and just tease it with something else that is a favorable, like maybe you tease Travis Kelce down to over 40 yards to go.
You just
with
do it alt line, yeah.
Yeah, alt line or anything else. So there's lots of choices there, at least on that end. And so it's really hard to not think that the people who have carried them this whole time will continue to be the people who carry them.
Have we talked about Chris Jones enough this week? Because I know
it's
an offensive league, and wait, we're talking about Mahomes stepping up and Kelce stepping up, because they've all done that. Somebody else that steps up is Chris Jones, and he had a little injury as well that he had time to rest. And
he said he almost didn't play that Pittsburgh game.
Yeah, he gutted that one out, was banged up. It's been a brutal year for him because he's getting, double teamed on a consistent basis. Brutal, not in a bad way. I just mean like physically brutal. And so when you think about the time off that he's getting, like he's also fresh. Like I would not be surprised that Chris Jones ends up, being way more visible than maybe he's been in other games, just because one, he takes his game to another level, and this is as fresh as he's been. He's the one player that first was publicly voicing his concern, frustration with the early bye. Remember, that was him. It was Chris Jones that said, hey, I'm going to go petition the NFLPA to in the offseason to make sure if we're going to be playing 3 in 11 days, we better have a late bye. That was him. So it clearly was something that was really bugging him. And that it bugged him because I'm sure physically he was feeling it. And now he's had 2.5-ish, 3 weeks off. So I think Chris Jones is another player that, like, hey, we should be expecting.
He might have a really big game because that line for Houston's had problems. True. So I mean,
especially the interior part.
In terms of
guys
that can wreck a game on defense for Houston or for the Kansas City, I mean, Chris Jones could have himself a field day.
That's the way we end up with the blowout. The way we end up with the blowout is Chris Jones in the first half of that Texans game ruins their entire game plan. And if you go back and look at what they did well and what they didn't do well in the last game, what they did well was get the ball deep. Off of Nazi Johnson and off of Joshua Williams deep. They did terrible in wide receiver screens. They did terrible in short yardage running. All the stuff that was near the line of scrimmage that Chris Jones could wreck, he wrecked in the first game against the Texans.
Yeah, that was, in fact,
their offense was deep.
And people are texting. That was the last game that Chris Jones played in, actually.
Oh, that's right. He didn't play against Pittsburgh. He said he was close to me, yeah. But I don't blame him. Why would he play?
The last game he played in was week 16. He's fresh. He's ready to roll Saturday afternoon.
Again, this always applies. Like, different players, maybe I'd care. Chris Jones? Nah, I feel fine. He can take as much time off as he wants. If Travis Kelce wanted to just take every other week off, if he was like the NBA, like they did the NBA version, and every 4 weeks of football, Travis Kelce just like kicked it on the sideline, I wouldn't care. Like, yeah, you know what? Every 4 days, you go ahead and take that one off, Trav. Rest up a little bit. Feel good. You remember Chris Jones for years has been asking Andy if he can skip training camp.
Mm-hmm.
Not even kidding. He's just like, can I? Come on.
He did the 1 year because he was out of the contract stuff.
Yeah.
Part of me still thinks
he also
like
had a great year.
Part of me also thinks that was part of it. Like on top of the money and all the whole stuff with his agents. Part of it was like, I also don't have to go to training camp this year. Sign me up.
Yeah, I can't blame him. Well, you and I will be at training camp this year. You don't get a.
I assume so.
You
we'll
don't
be
get
up
to
there, yeah.
Miss it just because you're in the middle of a contract dispute.
You know, I love
you
training
gotta go.
Camp. You know, I love it.
I mean, you know, where else were you going to talk about Luis Reese Zamet?
We never got him on the show. Think about
great
that.
News, by the way, for the Coding Gold Garage sale next year.
Oh, yeah.
We have a Luis Reese Zamet autographed helmet.
We do. We have a couple.
So I want you to prepare. That's a, I mean, where,
that's going for,
where else are you going to get
that's
that
going
item?
For hundreds of dollars.
A Luis Reese Zamet. It's a good helmet, like the quality kind. Big, thick padding on the inside.
We got some nice. Full-size helmet. It's not one of the mini ones.
No, dude, full
it's a real
size.
Helmet.
I'm not kidding. Full size.
It's a real helmet.
Luis Reese helmet.
I don't know if it's a replica, but it looks like it could be an authentic. We'll have to check on that. If it's authentic, it's going to go for quite a bit because people just want the authentic helmet more than even the autograph. Like the autograph matters.
No, they want the autograph in this case, but yes, in some cases.
Yeah, people want that LRZ.
How are they going to get it? Were they going to fly to Australia? New Zealand. That's where he's from. They got to fly to New Zealand?
No,
not from either.
Where's he from?
Wales.
Oh, I'm
confused
with the other rugby
he's
player.
He's not from either.
He's not the rugby player. I was getting rugby.
He went to two different ends of the planet.
Wales! I don't even remember him now. It's been so long. I can't believe we talked about
Welsh.
Him as much as we did.
Welsh. He's Welsh.
Oh, are you fly to Wales?
Yeah.
Just to get that helmet signed? No chance.
Do we know where he's even at now?
Jacksonville.
Okay, he is still on the practice squad.
I think he was
there?
On the practice squad down there. I mean, I haven't been tracking the the waiver wire for LRZ, but I think he was
good
down
him.
In Jacksonville. Remember, he had a chance to come back on the practice squad, and he chose to go to Jacksonville.
Good for him.
I don't know if he wanted nicer weather or
he wanted to travel to London free twice a year.
That's what it was, too. Yeah, maybe.
What? I wonder if that's a real thing.
That actually was a reason, potentially, why he chose there.
Yeah. He didn't play, though.
Yeah,
right? He didn't play.
Right. I would assume practice squad guys travel with the team, or do they just not?
Got to be elevated. Got to be elevated for that trip, I would think, unless the whole organization went.
It appears he's still on their practice squad.
Yeah, someone says that LRZ autograph hurts the value of the helmet. It might be.
No, I disagree.
But we have to narrow down our list of garage sale items because we have too many, frankly. But
never! 300 items this year!
Yeah, can't do that many. But we also have like a signed Legarius Sneed, like authentic jersey. Like not the kind that you buy at the store and get signed. I'm talking about with the shriveled up shoulder where the shoulder pads would be, like a real authentic jersey. We have, I don't know if it's game worn, but we have a real Sneed one. We also have a Clyde Edwards-Helaire. So we've got some other.
We have a game used Carlos Gonzalez bat. We have all kinds of weird stuff, man. Not to mention Hallmark pillows from the movie premiere.
Deal.
I can't wait for the garage show this year.
That's
going to
be
year 5.
It'll be in June. We got to work on the date, but yeah, that'll be here before we know it. We've got some time, and we'll try to beat last year's number. We raised over 15,000 last year.
Yeah,
so
it's a lot of money, man.
Thinking of money, you.
What I do.
Palette, Amazon.
We're back on this again?
Sell it, please.
How long ago did you get
what the dividend? What do you even need the money
for? It's been over
a year, dude.
It's year been a couple been of months, probably.
Over a year.
Jeez. Refresher for those that are new to 96.5 The Fan. A year ago, we had some show fund money, as in, like, we've raised some money and we use it for different things with listeners,
etc. We spent a couple hundred dollars, yeah.
And Cody wanted to buy a pallet for like $700. We said, absolutely not. He said, what if we do a box? And reluctantly, we agreed. But we also said, the problem is you're going to get this box. We're going to open it on air. And we did. And you're not going to sell this stuff. That's the hard part. And we're going to lose money on the box. Fast forward 13 months or so. We still have the box, or I don't know, you have it at your house now, maybe.
It, yeah, it's not here.
Who knows what's left?
Our office is too full of garage sale stuff.
We didn't even do inventory on it, so I don't know what you might have taken out of there, you know? And
inventory on it either.
It stuck. We lost money on it. And now the items that are in there, like the tech, the ones that are, you know, electronic, are worth less because, like, the Apple Pen is not the same as it was 2 years ago or whatever. So I'm just saying, you kind of screwed us on that one.
Yeah,
so
I did.
We got to just get rid of this pallet and move on, or this box and move on.
Yeah, well, you didn't let me get the pallet.
Thank goodness.
We just got to be free and clear.
Someone said they were going to give us $50 for the Apple Pen and another $50 for all the toner, remember?
We still can't. It's available.
So is any Royals gear in the garage sale? Yeah, we will have. We had bobbleheads and stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Not as much. I'll try to get, like, since it is our fifth year, maybe I'll try to get a something really nice from Vinny this year.
Yeah, we also still have, I will say, did not expire. Still haven't, you can't sing pass.
I know. I actually think about it every time I consider making a new song. I'm like, if I make this song.
I got a DM from the owner of that pass.
Boom.
The owner of said pass heard the morning show talking about singing, and he thought that meant they were joking that you were working on a song, I guess, like a week or two ago. You weren't, obviously, but they thought you were. And so he messaged me and said, hey, if he's using the song today, block it. And I was like, what is he even talking about? But he heard there was a rumor.
I do get the feeling that the next one you try to do is going to be blocked.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm a little worried about doing one, you know? I don't want it to
You can't just run away from it, though. you can't just retire. It
stinks. Just never airs. Just do all this. They're work, man. They take time.
Hang on. Are we sure? Okay. Was the agreement that it never airs, or that it is blocked in that moment from being played?
It can't be on the show ever. Yeah.
It can be put on social media, but it can't ever be.
Really?
Whoa. I thought
gone forever?
That's an extension of the show. Damn. I mean, yeah, I think that
personal social media?
And now you're just really skirting it now, though. I mean, like,
it can't be on personal social media?
That's really not in the spirit of the past that someone spent money on. And then, but you can do it. Then it's done. Then you would know there's no more.
Yeah, that's true.
But there will be another block pass, I'm sure, in the garage. So that was a popular item. So.
Well, I better get this one off of the docket so that I can be free and clear.
Otherwise, you're going to stack the. You're going to be wasting time forever.
I'm never going to get a song out.
Up next, we'll get to what's trending. And then Danan Hughes, former Chiefs wide receiver, is going to give us the lowdown on what to expect with Jalen Watson back matching up maybe against somebody like Nico Collins, Trent McDuffie. And then, of course, can Xavier Worthy keep this thing going in the postseason?